Hi, brother, this is Shay here. Today, this private episode that is just for you as being part of the crew, we're talking about identity and specifically how erection problems and performance anxiety impacts identity, and not just impacts, quite literally can demolish our identity, can feel like it's just been stripped away to the point where sometimes we can ask, don't really know who I am, or I feel like my masculinity has just been totally turned upside down, taken away from me. So it has quite a big impact on our identity, and I'm sure if you're experiencing performance anxiety or erection problems, then there's part of you that can relate to this. So what I'll be going through today is how this impacts our identity. I'd like to normalize this as well. That's a big part of this episode, so we can just talk about the stuff that's often not spoken about. And then also, of course, what we can do about it to make sure that we don't lose our sense of selves, because this is who we are. You know, it's an important part of our character, our aliveness. So how do we maintain that in the face of performance anxiety and erection problems? That's what we'll go into today. So first of all, I just wanted to start off with some statistics, a few statistics I'd like to share with you that you may or may not be familiar with. And to me, this just really showed how common it is, but yet unspoken about, for men to experience erection problems. So first of all, by 2025, it's predicted that at least 322 million, which was quite a precise figure, but 322 million men around the world will be impacted by erection problems, and that it will be one of the leading causes of sex issues for men. And that is just the number of diagnosed cases, right? So I haven't done the maths on this, but I feel like honestly we could at least double that, if not more, for the number of undiagnosed cases, because most of the times we feel awkward about going to speak to the doctor or a healthcare provider about this. So in a few years' time, it's predicted to be the leading health, sexual health disorder for men, or one of them, one of the leading disorders. And then one quarter, this is the second statistic now, one quarter of men under the age of 40 face erection problems, some form of erection problems. So one fourth, that's quite a big amount. And again, that is just the number that have actually gone to speak to somebody about it where it's been registered. So that number is higher than one quarter. And then when it comes to over the age of 40, that goes to 50%. 50%. Now there's a couple of studies on this, one showing 49, the other one showing 52. So I've just basically put it at 50%. But that's huge. That is half, at least half of men around the world. And my suspicion is it's actually over half, because again, this is on diagnosed cases. And so this is normal. I know saying it's normal doesn't help with getting it sorted, but I think it's important that we create a space where it feels like we can actually talk about these kind of things without the embarrassment, without the shame, without the feeling of our manliness or masculinity being stripped away from us, because this is a fact. This is something that many men face. So as you know, in the letters that I write and in these recordings, I want you to feel that you're not alone, because you aren't. And this is a normal thing for guys to go through. It's about getting the right tools and strategies to move past this. So how does this impact identity? And what does identity mean to you? This is a question to just reflect on. What does identity mean to you? How does it shape your perception of yourself? So for me, identity, when I think about what that means to me, it's definitely a sense of who I am, what I stand for, what is important to me, what I like to spend my time doing forms a part of my identity, and also the kind of person that I like to be known as, or what I like to be known for. These are things that form part of my identity. And then I also think on a day-to-day basis, like the rituals, the habits that I have, they form part of my current identity and the identity that I want to move into. I think our identity is constantly shifting. We choose to evolve it, we choose to change it and adapt it, and it doesn't just come from within. Probably the majority of it actually comes from external factors, right? So when we're younger, this may be things that the blueprints or imprints that our parents passed on to us, friends in school. And it's not until, for me personally, I would say probably around 25 onwards, where there's this feeling of real independence. Yeah, of course it showed up in some ways, like in business. For me, I felt more independent at a younger age. It didn't take till 25, but I even at that point in business, I was still following the guidance of a lot of mentors and coaches, for example. So it wasn't really until I would say past the age of 25 that I was able to step into my self and feel like I could lead, make decisions, and was just had a clearer sense of who I am. So to me, that is what makes up parts of our identity. And what's the connection then between erection problems and identity? Well, we know that erection problems doesn't just, and performance anxiety, it doesn't just impact our physical body, right? That's one part of it. We can't ignore the psychological impact that it also has. And that doesn't matter what age we are, we all feel that. And what it does is it can shake our sense of identity of being a man. Because we have these references, these influences, whether that's from our dad, whether it's from watching porn, whether it's from watching movies. All of these things shape our perception of how a man should be, what a man needs to do to attract the ideal mate, how the man needs to perform. And then often when we have challenges, there's nobody to really go and talk to. We just have to kind of figure that out ourselves. And we don't really have any reference points of or information to know that it's normal and to know that it's okay. So what do? We start criticizing and shaming ourselves for it because we think that we're not normal. And so we can see how, when a man is experiencing performance anxiety and erection problems, what are some of the thoughts that may come into their mind that impact identity? And that's the fear of failing, which means being a failure. If I can't give pleasure to my partner, then what kind of partner am I? Not happy with my body, which means that I'm not happy with who I am, because we are our body. It's a critical part of us. So if I'm saying in my mind that I'm not happy with a part of my body, it's me telling my body I'm not happy with you. I don't want you. I want something else. And also things like when we're with friends, or friends are sharing stories or some banter or whatever it may be about, just guys chat around. I think this changes as we get older, but it still happens. And in those moments, there's a feeling of awkwardness. I can't really share it, or having to make cover-up stories, having to hide what's actually going on. So can you see how, when we look at things like that, those types of thoughts, how that can have a significant impact on who we feel we are in the world. And that can lead to thoughts like questioning our purpose in the world, or what's really going on, what's the point of life, these bigger existential questions, because it's us trying to make sense of what's happening. So I hope that brings to life the very real impact that it can have on identity. And especially when, just going back to, as I was saying, the things about movies, porn, these types of things, and society's expectations of a man and masculinity. When we link our sexual performance with those other things that we're seeing, our ability to be a great partner, our ability to be a man, a real man, our ability to step up and perform whenever we need to, these types of things. When we link our sexuality, our sexual performance with that, this just exacerbates the whole thing, right? It increases the amount of shame, it increases the amount of embarrassment and inadequacy and self-doubt. It basically sends us into a bit of an identity crisis because there's all of these things we're being told we should be, and then inside we feel like we're not. So it's like a battle, like a minefield that's going on. So if you can relate to any of that, and I'm always interested as well to hear just where you're at, what your reflections have been on with your identity, and you can reply to these newsletters at any point. And I like to read that and we can talk about it. So how do we deal with this? What are some techniques and tools and strategies to be able to get this sorted, to get to the bottom of it first of all, and then to feel normal again? And you would have seen in each recording, I generally share tools that have worked effectively for me, same on the YouTube videos as well. But of course, I think the first starting point, I'd like to go back to basics today with this. And where do we even start? And I think the first starting point has to be not keeping this a secret anymore. You know, your partner may know, or there may be a close friend that knows. If it can feel really uncomfortable to have this conversation, that's valid. That's valid because it's an uncomfortable thing to talk about, unfortunately. So I see that part of you that feels uncomfortable to talk about this. And I also see the part that wants to get this sorted. And I know from my own experience, when I keep things a secret, it just gives it more power. It consumes even more of my mind. My focus goes there so much more often, and it becomes a daily nightmare. And it's when we start to speak to others that we trust and feel safe to talk to, or where there's that agreement of confidentiality, that we can start to find a way forward. So whether that is with your primary caregiver, your doctor, whether it's with a therapist, whether it is with me on the mindset route, whoever it may be with, just taking a deep breath in and saying, okay, it is time to, if I'm not getting the results that I want or that I expected, it's time to speak to somebody new about this, to get a new set of tools and strategies. But stepping out of this, taking one step out of this scary feeling into not keeping it a secret and moving forward is a really important step. And I think the second important step is not seeing our identity as only our sexual performance. Now, this can be something that is really easy to do, okay? And it is also something that can be very easy to dismiss. We can think, oh no, that's fine. I know I have other parts of my identity as well. But what are we actually telling ourselves on a daily basis? You know, when we wake up and look in the mirror, what are the thoughts that are there? Throughout the day at work, what are the thoughts that are there? When we go home to our partner or go to meet a new date, what are the thoughts that come up? Because that's what we're actually telling ourselves about who we are. So, what are the questions that we're asking ourselves, or the criticisms that we're giving ourselves? Because that's what we're actually thinking about our identity. And a lot of that, when we're experiencing sexual performance anxiety and erection problems, we wrap that whole thing up into feeling this is who I am. And what I mean by that, if it's unclear, is we spend more time attacking who we are than praising who we are. We spend more time focusing on our failures rather than our successes. We spend more time thinking about our identity in the sense of sexual performance versus all of the other areas, aspects of our identity that we have. So my invite to you as the second step here is to see yourself beyond that lens of just sexuality. Also focusing on things like, what am I passionate about? What am I really good at? What qualities do I have? And just celebrating ourselves when we do the thing. So it may be that we've done a great workout. It may be that we led a really great meeting at work or closed a deal. It may be that we started a new friendship that we're really proud of, or we helped somebody in the street. These types of things, just taking a moment to be grateful for that, and more importantly, to recognize it within self, recognize it within yourself. Because you can imagine, let's say if I had a box and I was filling it up with, I have 2 cups of liquid, okay? Both of the cups of liquid can fill up the box. One cup is the criticism, the shame, and the attacking, and the other cup is the praise, the gratitude, and noticing the good things that I do, the other aspects of my identity. If I am spending most of my time pouring that other cup of shame, criticism, attacking into that box, that's what I'm going to get, right? That my box will be filled with that. And how, that we can imagine. Does that help or hinder performance anxiety and erection problems? It hinders it. It does not help it. It makes it even worse. All right, it turns it into more of a crisis. But if I have this other cup and I'm doing equal amounts of pouring it into the box, so that, yes, okay, there's that normal voice that can be there of the self-shaming, attacking, criticism. We all experience that in different ways, and I think it would be silly of me to imagine that that goes away. But it's not silly of us to imagine that we can add another voice into the box. And to start noticing the other things that we're doing outside of, nothing to do with sexuality. Could be intimacy still, so building a bond with our partner, giving them love in a particular way that makes us feel proud. But I'm talking about outside of the sexual aspect. Starting to notice those things and just being more aware of them. Okay, it's not the thing that solves and gets this fixed, but it's a really important step on the journey to not losing who we are, not losing our sense of self. So I just want to finish here by saying, and reinforcing the message that erection problems and performance anxiety does not define who you are. It doesn't take away or diminish your worth as a man, as a human being, as a partner, as an achiever, as a businessman. There are multiple aspects that make up our identity, and it's important that we remember that, rather than feeling the opposite way, which is to, the alternative option is to lose sight of that and think that we're a failure. And over time, that makes things even worse. So I just want to say, if you are struggling with this, or as I mentioned before, if you haven't seen the results that you wanted to see, you are welcome to reach out to me or to other professionals, other experts that also help with this. The most important thing is getting the right tools and the right strategies. And you'll see on the newsletter today, I've also put an invite to the Annihilate Anxiety free online meet. So this is 20 minutes. We'll get together and I'll be sharing with you the most powerful tool that I have personally come across to be able to annihilate anxiety. I look forward to seeing you there.